This episode is sponsored by Anchor by Spotify. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and Ashley and I can definitely personally vouch for this. First of all, it saves you a bunch of time, so we don't really talk about this, but Ashley and I both have full-time jobs, and we don't really live close by each other, so we just get together once a week, every week, and talk about our podcast, and Anchor.fm helps us a lot to get everything out there and ready to go for you all to listen to with not a lot of time needed. So first of all, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. There are also creation tools right in Anchor that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or from your computer.
Also, Anchor is free, and even though you don't have to pay any money, it actually allows you to make money from your own podcast even without a minimum number of listeners. It's everything you could possibly need to make a podcast for free in one place.
So if you can't already tell, we both love Anchor. And if you're interested in starting a podcast of your own, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hi, listeners, and welcome to Above the Wing, a podcast to bring together all aspects of the aviation community, including engineers, journalists, mechanics, pilots, and even casual hobbyists. I'm your co-host, Kim.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley. We'll talk about all things aviation, from current events to new products and airplanes to industry trends and everything in between. Looking at our first in the news article for this week, American Airlines is going to offer buses from local airports to other hubs that are in their network. Starting on June 3rd, Landline and American will provide connections between two airports by bus rather than typically by airplane. The move will be a time saver, American said in a news release. The company continued that passengers will be able to begin their travels in a more relaxing manner on the buses provided by company Landline. Landline's CEO said in the release that the goal is to make traveling more efficient, affordable, and relaxing.
Moving on to our second headline, jet operators feel pain at the pump. On April 12, 2022, a record U.S. high of $12.16 per gallon of Jet A fuel was reached at New Jersey's Teterboro Airport. A portion of Jet A in the northeastern U.S. is supplied by distillate imports from Europe, and as Western nations shun crude oil output from Russia, Jet A prices are spiking. Joel Hurst, AvFuel VP of Sales, said that prices will, quote, come back down as fast as it went up once imports start create fuel rebalancing.
Looking at our next headline, Boeing and Microsoft announced that they are deepening their strategic partnership to accelerate Boeing's digital transformation. Through the expanded collaboration, Boeing will leverage the Microsoft Cloud and its AI capabilities to update its technology infrastructure and mission-critical applications with new solutions that are data-driven, furthering opening new ways of working, operating, and doing business. This partnership builds on a long history of the companies working together. As a leader in aerospace, Boeing was among the first to leverage the cloud, centralizing many of its market-leading digital aviation applications on Microsoft Azure, and using AI to drive customer outcomes and streamline operations.
And finally, our last headline for this week is that the Ingenuity Mars helicopter wins the Collier Trophy. On April 9, 2022, NASA JPL's Ingenuity helicopter team has been named the 2021 recipient of the Robert J. Collier Trophy for, quote, the first powered control flight of an aircraft on another planet, thereby opening the skies of Mars and other worlds for future scientific discovery and exploration. April 19, 2021 was the helicopter's first maiden flight from the surface of Mars. It climbed to an altitude of 10 feet, maintained a stable hover for 30 seconds, then descended and landed. Since then, the helicopter has accomplished 24 flights and a total of 43 minutes of flight time. The Collier Trophy is awarded annually, quote, for the greatest achievement in aeronautics or astronautics in America, with respect to improving the performance, efficiency, and safety of air or space vehicles, the value of which has been thoroughly demonstrated by actual use during the preceding year. So the Ingenuity Mars helicopter, I think, was definitely deserving.
Now moving into the bulk of our episode this week, and the topic of this week's episode might sound a little familiar if you listened to our last episode about Downfall, the case against Boeing. And one of the things that was presented pretty frequently in that documentary was this sort of rivalry between Airbus and Boeing. So this week we decided to do a little deep dive into Airbus's history now that we know a little bit about Boeing's. And Kim has got a little bit of a background for us.
Yeah, so I'll kick us off with some general quick facts about Airbus, the company. In contrast to Boeing, which is based in the US, Airbus is based in Europe. Airbus has assembly lines in Toulouse, France, Hamburg, Germany, Seville, France. But they also have international assembly lines in China, Alabama in the US, Mirabel, Canada, and Broughton, Wales. Airbus, the company, is organized into three divisions. One division is commercial aircraft, which is what we will focus on today. This division generates about 70% of revenue for the company and includes short-range and long-range aircraft, including the A320 or the largest passenger airliner, the A380. The second division is defense and space, and this division generates about 20% of revenue for the company. It was formed in January 2014 after the company restructured former European Aeronautic Defense and Space Company divisions. This military division provides manufacturer tankers, transport aircraft, and mission aircraft. And finally, the last division, which I recently learned when I was researching for this episode, is that they also make helicopters. And this generates about 10% of the revenue, and this division was formerly known as Eurocopter. In 2019, Airbus became the world's largest airline manufacturer, and this coincided with Boeing's 737 MAX groundings. Airbus was definitely a big player in why the Boeing company made so many different shortcuts when trying to come up with a new fleet. Airbus definitely maintained their momentum and eventually surpassed Boeing in terms of who held the most portion of the aircraft manufacturing industry. And I think this is a good transition to launch into some quick numbers to compare the two companies. The competition between these two companies is apparently characterized as a duopoly, which is in contrast to a monopoly. So in a duopoly, two firms have dominant control over a market. And specifically, if you don't already know, the market that Airbus and Boeing are in is the large jet airliner market. So moving on to who won in 2021, I found an article that kind of broke down different categories and compared and contrasted the two companies directly. So in 2021, Boeing made 340 deliveries and Airbus made 611 deliveries. So Airbus won this category, but a pretty long shot. But I found that surprisingly, 72% of Boeing's deliveries in 2021 were for the 737 MAX. So somehow they are still taking advantage of this fleet, even though they have a pretty poor safety history. In terms of the new aircraft category, Boeing had 497 orders and Airbus had 507 orders. So Airbus won this category by just a little bit. In terms of active fleets, Boeing had 10,726 active aircraft, while Airbus only had 9,214 active aircraft. Boeing had 7,632 narrow bodies in service, and Airbus had 7,642 narrow bodies in service. So in terms of narrow bodies, Airbus won. But Boeing comes out ahead in wide body aircraft with 3,092 in service, and Airbus only had 1,653 wide bodies in service. It's also important to note that Qatar Airways grounded a large number of Airbus A350 fleet and plan to face Airbus in court over paint scheme issues. So neither companies are clean here, although I will argue that paint scheme issues are a lot less concerning than two aircraft nosediving and killing all the passengers. But, you know, that's still something to note.
I know. I was just thinking that if there's any reason to have to ground your fleet as a, you know, just myself as a passenger, that is quite reassuring that, you know, that's all it was.
Yeah, I agree. And in terms of flights that were flown by the two companies, Boeing aircraft were flown 8,907,948 times, and Airbus aircraft were flown 9,401,161 times. So Airbus wins in the most flights category. So based on these categories, deliveries, new aircraft, active fleets, and flights, it looks like Airbus won the head-to-head competition of numbers in this case. And it looks like they're maintaining their lead, and they took pretty good advantage of Boeing's lapse with the 737 MAX groundings.
So now looking at where things stand now for Airbus, anything that you see in the news lately with it, a lot of it seems to be centered around this A320neo. The A320neo is an upgrade of Airbus's popular narrowbody series and has totaled over 7,900 orders from over 120 customers just since its launch. Over 2,100 of the A320neo family aircraft have been delivered since its service, since its entry into service 6 years ago. This jet has been a popular choice with carriers thanks to its new generation engines and sharklets, which deliver 20% fuel and CO2 savings with an additional 50% noise reduction. Airbus reports that the jets have contributed to saving 10 million tons of CO2 since 2016. The A321XLR also provides a range of 4,700 nautical miles and a flight time of 11 hours. So those numbers are obviously very impressive to current customers, prospective customers, and you know, anyone looking for efficiency, which nowadays is everyone.
Yeah, and there's a lot of common themes too with the way that Airbus is maintaining its lead against Boeing. Right. They're really putting a huge focus on sustainability, and with sustainability not only comes with environmental impacts but also financial impacts. If you right. use less fuel, then you won't have to pay as much. And in the news segment earlier today, we just talked about how we reached a record high fuel cost for Jet A in the U.S. and you know, environmental impacts are always a topic of conversation too. And I think another thing to note too is that NEO stands for new engine option. So a part of this A320neo fleet, Airbus has chosen two different engine options, the Pratt & Whitney 1100G and the CFM International LEAP engine, and both of which are touted to be more environmentally conscious as well as more efficient in terms of fuel burn. So they've not only optimized their aircraft, but they're also optimizing the engines that are powering these aircraft. And I think they're really putting themselves in a really good position.
Yeah, it's a really great, look too for the company that this is something that they're prioritizing. I think that probably resonates with a lot of, customers and stuff as well. So it really is a win all around. Looking also towards, some specifics of who is interested in these fleets. Just recently, it's funny, when we were looking for in the news articles today, this was actually everywhere, so it was really good timing, but BOC Aviation just ordered 80 more A320s to bring their total Airbus fleet to 453 aircraft. Robert Martin, the BOC Aviation CEO, said, quote, "We are proud to continue our long-standing relationship with Airbus, with whom we've partnered for more than 26 years. This is the largest single order that we've ever placed, and it will bring our total Airbus aircraft purchased since inception to 546. This underscores our continued confidence in the A320neo family for its reliability and operational efficiency, and reflects the popularity of the aircraft amongst our airline customers. We look forward to continuously providing our customers with such fuel-efficient and technologically advanced aircraft solutions." So there's really a lot there in what he said, right? They have such confidence that they provided, that they placed this huge order, the largest order that they've ever placed. They talk about how it's not only them that likes these airplanes, but it's their customers. So, you know, like I mentioned before, this is something that their customers are into as well. And it's all about, you know, advancing their technology and being on the cutting edge of all of this new, these new advances. So definitely, this was a huge message for this company to make this huge order.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of brings to mind one of the themes that we talked about in the Netflix documentary that we discussed in the previous two episodes. Trust is such a huge part of this industry, and saying that they're placing this such a massive order before Airbus has even, like, I mean, like, no one has ever really used these aircraft before. Like, it's new.
Right.
So they're already, like, placing orders for hundreds and hundreds of aircraft. And really, I think that is a testament to the strength of Airbus right now. And you can see that this happened with Boeing, right? Like, previous to the 737 MAX, like, United Airlines and American Airlines all really trusted Boeing. And they would place, you know, hundreds of orders in advance, just like Robert Martin is saying about Airbus. Right. And it's like these companies really rely on trust from lesser companies and airline companies to make sure that they can, you know, maintain their position in the market. And the aircraft numbers that I mentioned earlier, Boeing had 497 orders for new aircraft and Airbus had 507. A lot of these orders are at air shows where these big aircraft manufacturing companies go to air shows and they like unveil these like crazy like presentations that are just so aesthetically pleasing to, you know, like sell it to these people.
Right.
And that's really when these companies buy in and make these orders. And I don't know. I think that part of the industry is really crazy to me. Like, when I buy a car, for example, I will test drive the car and everything and make sure that it's comfortable. But like these leasing companies and everything, they're just going in and like signing checks to just buy these things before they've even sat in them.
Right. It's really funny that you put it like that. I remember, I think it was the 2017 AirVenture, whatever their newest Airbus was at the time, then whatever model it was, I just remember that was where they announced it, and it was this huge deal. It flew in, and the flight line was packed of everyone waiting to see it fly in, and it taxied in, and this thing was massive, and it had little American flags all over it, and it was just this huge skeptical, and it was like the most surreal feeling. It was so crazy.
Yeah, I would love to see that at an air show.
Yeah, it was wicked cool.
That is very cool. So I'm kind of curious to see how this rivalry evolves as Boeing starts to move forward from their Boeing 737 MAX incident. Right. And it's interesting that you brought up like their sustainability focus there as an Airbus, but also in the news segment, you talked about how Boeing is partnering with Microsoft to kind of make like new digital aircraft solutions. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I wonder how the digital aircraft solutions will fare up against the huge focus on sustainability. Not that Airbus isn't looking into digital solutions and not that Boeing isn't looking into sustainability solutions, but I think like the hearing about what each company is doing differently is very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look at how this, huge BOC aviation order was everywhere in the news today. Like, you never know. It could just take another name like that buying a ton of Boeings, and then that could be a turning point for them to give them an edge. So, it's super unpredictable what could happen, but it will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the bottom line is that they're just two very exceptional aircraft manufacturers.
Yeah.
When I was looking into the history of the rivalry and things like that, there were other companies in play, but none of them lasted as long as Airbus and Boeing, which is why they're in a duopoly right now, because they're just the two best companies to do this. And they have such a long history of just making excellent aircraft. I mean, I don't see either of them really backing down from competition anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I think they're both doing some pretty cool things. So, yeah, definitely a cool and exciting industry to keep track of.
Yeah, for sure. Moving into our featured photos segment, and a reminder that you can see the photos that we're talking about in our Instagram story highlights. Kim, why don't you take us through your photo?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned this in a previous episode, but generalaviationnews.com has photos of the day. And I saw this on their website and I was like, what is this? This looks really crazy and really cool. It basically looks like a go-kart with like a glider on top of it. And I can see there's like a tiny little engine. But this is at the 2022 Sun and Fun Aerospace Expo in Lakeland, Florida. And this photo is from a portion of the expo, which is kind of like a mini air show of light sport aircraft, ultralights, and STOL demos. So this was just like a crazy photo to me. You can see like the person kind of driving it, it looks like. But the frame is like very minimal and the wings are very minimal. So I don't know. And I just admire how some photographers can capture like high speed movement like this. Like it's so perfectly focused on this super fast moving aircraft and you can see like the background is blurred and stuff. It's just a very cool photo.
Yeah, this is a cool photo. My photo is from Girls in Aviation Day, which was sponsored by Women in Aviation International, and they hosted some local schools and Girl Scout groups to participate in this conference in Nashville, Tennessee. At the conference, there were aerospace activities sponsored by industry exhibitors and armed services, and I thought this photo was just really cute of these two young girls on this map, and you can see that there are like drones near them and all the exhibitors in the back. So it's definitely cool to see, you know, stuff like this going on. And we love that exposure to young women.
Mm-hmm. I love everything that Women in Aviation International does.
Yeah.
So I love seeing photos of events and stuff like that, especially now that COVID regulations are loosening up a bit.
Right. Yeah. So definitely it was nice to see that.
Yep. All right. I think that wraps it up for this week. As always, you can find more Above the Wing content at abovethewing.podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.